Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi. Today I'm going through a teaching series in the book of Philippians. And I pray the Lord will give you understanding so that you comprehend what Apostle Paul was teaching us in his epistle to the Philippians. I'll start from chapter 1. And the summary of this is you're going to see that Apostle Paul is going to teach us in this Philippians that the preaching of the word of God should not be with jealousy or strife, and then we have to have humbleness of mind, and he also gives testimony that he's not yet perfect, but he's pressing on. And if Apostle Paul say that, we individually should be pressing on to enter in chapter 3. In chapter 4, he went into exhortation for us to rejoice in the Lord always. So let's start from Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to go through just reading it and stopping and giving commentary and exhortation from all of these Bible verses. This is how we do teaching. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, I want you to get your Bible and read along, okay? Because I'm starting from chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 2 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, let me stop right there. Apostle Paul is giving us what we should be praying for. You may say, well, he was praying for them because he was the minister. Every believer, you are expected to be praying. Have some regular time of prayer for yourself that you are praying. Not if you don't have anything to pray for. Maybe you don't have any need, but pray for some believers. Pray for the body of Christ. And this is an example of what Apostle Paul is praying for the believer. If you think you are already okay, maybe when you read some of this, you will see what you should also be praying for yourself. Because what he was praying for the believers here, that they should be perfected by the Lord and walk in uprightness, you should pray that for yourself also, that Lord should make you that way. Why? Because don't tell me you are already perfect. Because the Bible said God has put in his body, in the body of Christ, that was in Ephesians chapter 4, about verse 11, that God has put the apostles, evangelists, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. So we, you and I, we are called to be saints, but we are not perfected yet. So the teachings, the letters of the apostles, and the teachings of the teachers in the Bible, in the body of Christ, and this is an example of what we are reading here, is to make every one of us perfect in our walk with the Lord. So, as you can see, as you are not perfected yet, keep reading and keep praying this prayer that you see Apostle Paul praying for other people. Pray for yourself also, and also pray it for other believers. You don't need to mention a particular person's name, just say all the body of believers, everyone that have come to Christ. Lord, do this for all of us so that we can grow in grace. So that is the type of prayer you are seeing here. And I continue. I was Apostle Paul in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 1. He said, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. What was he requesting for? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who has begun this good work in them? The Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the one that is working in us once we give our life to him. So Apostle Paul is saying he's having confidence in the Lord God that he's praying to, that he started this race to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. He will perform it as we yield to the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is in you once you have given your life to Christ. Holy Spirit is deposited in you. But you have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost as an additional power. That is what the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues represents, which he wants to give to everyone that we ask. Because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And he said, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. That is for every believer. So if you have not be baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 17, then you need to ask in prayer, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak in tongues. Because the speaking in tongues is to edify your spirit. We use the speaking in another language for edifying of ourselves. Now let's go on in verse 5, verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. Verse 7 says, and even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. So he's praying that he believe God that they all will arrive at the feet of Jesus Christ at the end. So the purpose of preaching the gospel is to win souls for the kingdom, invite people to come to Christ. And when you have given your life to Christ, we have to keep exhorting you. That's the teaching that we are putting, teaching on radio also for those who have listened, who have given their life to Christ, because we may not be able to get to you other than through the same radio broadcasting. So we take time to do teaching also on the radio. But listen to those teaching, live your life according to the exhortation we are giving to you, and we believe God who has started this work in you will perfect it, will perform it, and make you arrive at Jesus' feet at the end, that we will see you when Christ shall arrive, that this fellow stood firm from the time he gave his life to Christ, and we will be grateful to God that he kept you in faith. And that is the same thing Apostle Paul is saying here, that he longed after them in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He longed to make sure that to see that they also arrive, because I'm shooting to arrive at the feet of Jesus Christ to live for him and be perfected and arrive at the end. So you are, I'm praying also that all of you that are listening, that have given your life to Christ through these radio ministries, you also will arrive there and stay true to the end in Christ Jesus, and you arrive at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that is the prayer of Apostle Paul to all those he has been witnessing to. Verse 9 said, and this I pray, now this is the prayer, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Love is what God is putting in the heart of sins. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So we are to keep ourselves holy till the day of Christ, till Christ appear. That's what it means. And if it does not appear in your lifetime, till you pass on to glory, you want that the Lord will keep you in Christ. Because those who die in Christ, they go to a resting place, a better place called paradise, waiting for the resurrection. When Christ said, I raised them up on the last day to live again on this planet and live with Jesus Christ and forever and forever. We are going to inherit this planet and all the universes God has created. Only the Christians. Now verse 11 said, Apostle Paul is still praying, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Prayer is that we should be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Now our righteousness is not our own righteousness. So that's why I say by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Remember, we are saved and called into the kingdom so that Christ can live inside us. It is Jesus Christ living inside us that will make us to be like him, to walk like him. So you have to just yield to his word, and that's how he's going to begin to live inside you and me. When we yield to the exhortations of the word of God as we are reading right now, as we are reading the book of Philippians, Ephesians, and all those things, those are letters to the church, how we should conduct our life. And that is how Christ will live inside us, because as we are obeying his word in the scriptures, he is able to maneuver us. Because Christ living inside us is living his life through us. That is why every righteousness we have now is by Jesus Christ. Not by our own struggle. The Jews tried to struggle to obey the laws of Moses. They couldn't do it, because there's no power in them to do it. But when Jesus Christ comes into our life, that is the power that makes us to do it. It becomes easy to do all those exhortations, because it is Christ living his life through us. Remember that. So that's why when you see his letter in verse 11, he said, he's praying that we be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. So our righteousness is now by Jesus Christ living his life through us. It's a power in us that makes us to be able to do the righteousness. Unto the glory and praise of God. That's why it is, when we are doing those righteousness, we are praising God. who has given us the power to do it. Almost like when Jesus Christ was preaching about and he performed some miracle, he said, well, the people who praise God who has given this such power to man. You see, they said they praise God who has given such power unto man. So when they see that signs and wonders that Jesus Christ did, they said they were praising God who has given such power unto humanity. That any human being can do this through the power of God, we are thanking God that he give this power to man. So the same way, when we live this righteous life that the Bible says, verse 11, that said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. So it is Jesus Christ that is living his life through us, and it's now we are glorifying God who has made it possible for us to manifest that righteousness of Jesus in our life. Verse 12 said, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me are falling out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Apostle Paul is going to tell them about his own personal experience. And what is the personal experience he was talking about here in this verse, chapter 1 of Philippians? He was trying just to report to Philippians, the Philippian church are the people that he converted and they were in Christ Jesus, and he left the place and went to other places, and they always send pastors to continue to exhort them. Timothy was a pastor. So now he was saying, I want you to understand what happened to me, the persecution he faced when he was arrested and so on, and when he was now in Rome as a prisoner for Christ, a prisoner for preaching the gospel that he was. You see that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, the last chapters, he was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel and then brought to Rome. So he's going to tell his experience right now in this next few verses. He said, I will you to understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me are falling out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, that's the Caesar's palace, and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, what was he saying? Now he is reporting his experience in the before Caesar, because when he appealed to Caesar in the book of Acts of the Apostles, and he was transported to Rome, and they put him with the guards, and there will be a time when he will appear before the emperor Caesar in those days. So he was now saying, even while he was there, because of his way of life and the reason why he was there, and he was also still witnessing to him all the people that are workers, you know, all the servants of the king, of the emperor, that were working in the palace, because they always have a palace for the emperor. And also, he was staying with some soldiers that are keeping him. He was not in prison, like in a chain, but he was kept because he has not been condemned, he has not even faced trial. That's really what he has appealed. So according to the history then, he was just kept with some soldiers to stay with him so that he could go anywhere he wants to within the city and come back, and the soldiers just kept up on him until the day of the trial. So, but knowing Apostle Paul, he will be witnessing to all these guys, all those soldiers, the servants, the stewards, those that were cleaners. So, and many people begin to recognize that this is the reason why this man was here. And very soon, some people are being converted. So that's why he also said that many other believers are now bold to even preach the gospel. That's what he was reporting. That what has happened to him, the bonds, the imprisonment, that look like he's still not imprisonment, still like a bond, because he couldn't go freely. He's not free yet. But he was permitted until the day of his trial to go within some distance. Almost like what you call city arrest. You can't go beyond this distance until you appear in court. So he said, many of the brethren in the Lord were waxing confident by my bonds are much bold, much more bold to speak the word without fear. When they see that Apostle Paul is in bond just because of the gospel, they also are bold to preach the gospel. Now verse 15, now he's trying to compare some people are preaching it for some different reasons. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now you can see the same thing happening right now, even in the generation that we're in. I have seen some people, when they see that you are preaching the gospel on the radio, they feel challenged to go on the radio also and preach whatever they want to preach. Even some other religion will try to preach their own doctrine also. Why they say, well, these people are preaching on the radio and they also want their own voice to be heard. So it's like jealousy. So that's what Apostle Paul is saying here. Some preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. Others see that, yeah, this brother is preaching on the radio, is reaching some people. Maybe if we preach on another radio, we may reach some more people. Not that they are preaching something different, but they just want to reach more people, which is also good because we cannot get to all the radio stations. And you have to remember, even the radio station you are listening to, it's just one out of many radio stations. Many people don't listen to every radio station. So if you are listening to this one, maybe this radio station is getting to this type of people and this type of places. And the other radio stations are what other people listen to. But if you other people can get over there, it takes money to put your broadcast on the radio station, then you'll be reaching some other crowd. So that is why the people that are preaching out of goodwill will be going to get to other people. Because they say, this brother is preaching on radio, and we can preach similar thing, but we want to reach more people for Christ. So that's why he says, some people are preaching it out of goodwill. But others are preaching out of envy and jealousy, because they see, oh, this man is preaching his own doctrine, and they want to go and preach contrary doctrine, or preach that he's not the only one that is preaching, we also preach too. Other religion will try to do the same thing. They say, well, these people are evangelical. We can also bring our own church sermon there, which may not even edify anybody, but they just want to be represented by our church too, our denomination also. We are also on radio. See, that is one of the why he says some are doing out of envy and strife, while others are doing out of goodwill. But anyone that is doing for Christ should be winning souls for Christ, not winning souls to your church or to your prophet. And winning souls for Christ, for the kingdom of God that is coming. That is why this message of the gospel, if you are doing for Christ at all, you should be pointing to Christ. How to live for Christ, how to get to heaven, how to get into the rapture. You want to go in the rapture? The rapture is not limited to just this particular denomination or this particular group. Anyone that is born again. So if you are not born again, you better come unto Christ and be born again. So that's why we are preaching, pointing people to Christ, so that people can get ready for the Lord's coming. But others may be preaching just because they are doing it for envy of this radio minister is preaching in his own doctrine. Let's go preach our own church doctrine also, which may not benefit anyone that is listening except their church members. But the gospel is to be preached to point to Christ. Verse 16, in Apostle Paul is seems having the same experience in his own time. He said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bones. That is, if he hear what they are saying, he will get him upset that look at what they are preaching. That's what add affliction to his bone means. So they will be preaching something that is not quite right, and from what he has been preaching, because he knows he has direct revelation from God. Those who are preaching heresy could quickly disturbing them, even though they claim to also be preaching Christ. If they are preaching Christ mixed with something else, he can tell, and that will be making him more angry. That's what he means by add affliction to my bones. Verse 17 says, but the order of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. The others are the people that are preaching the gospel, but they want to reach more people. They say, Apostle Paul is preaching over here. Well, let's go preach over there and get more people into Christ. They are pointing people to Christ. And you don't need to go and be plowing where somebody already plowed. There are other fields that need to be plowed. So that's what he says. A lot of people say, well, let's get more people in. Let's go to this section of the town and preach. Let's put our own on the radio station over there and get more people into Christ. You can preach the same thing, but just make sure that you're getting to new people that are going to come to Christ. So that, because the kingdom of God, Christ said, my house must be full. My house must be full. So we all have to reach more people. Okay. Verse 17 said, but the order of love, knowing that I am severed the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. As long as they preach Christ, I'm satisfied. Whatever reason why they are preaching Christ, I'm satisfied. Whether it is for jealousy, it doesn't matter to Paul. Whether it is for love, that let's get more people in. Or as far as it's concerned, he said, I do rejoice that they are preaching Christ. Verse 94, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What does it mean by my salvation? He's talking about he will be delivered from the emperor when he goes to trial. He believed that when people are preaching, because what he is going through is firing up other believers, that will be a prayer for him. That God, that is why perhaps the Lord will spare him. That's what he says. I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Through your prayers, of course, you want them to still pray for him, so that he can be free from this bondage of being imprisoned by the emperor. Verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, Apostle Paul doesn't care, but you have to remember, by that time he was an old man. When you say old man, does not mean he was aged to the point that he couldn't walk around. But he had been preaching the gospel for many, 30, 40, I don't know how many years, before he was arrested in Jerusalem. So he was now classified as one of the seniors. So he said he doesn't care really whether he die or live, because the emperor was killing people in those days, believers. He said, but he believed that he is going to glorify Christ in his body. Verse 21 is key. Many people quoted this Bible verses, but it's not defined that everybody should die. He said, for me to live is Christ, and if he is living, he's serving Christ. And to die is gain. And if he dies, he's going to be with Christ. Verse 22 says, but if I live in the flesh, that is, if he's going to live, that you have to remember, this is a key thing about the life, our life. We are spirits living in this body. We are spirits and soul living in this physical body that we call flesh. And our body is like a earth suit. I mean, when you see the astronauts, when they go to the moon, they have to put on space suit, almost like a masquerade, also. But the one that is real them is inside a masquerade cloth that they call space suit. This, our body, is actually our own earth suit. We are like masquerade, putting on this physical body called earth suit, and we are looking through the eye gaze. Our eyes, we are inside looking through our eyes to the world, and that is really what who we are. So Apostle Paul is saying, when he put off this body, he will be living somewhere. And that's really what this Bible verse is pointing out. So you can know that this physical body is not it. It's just a cloth we are wearing. In verse 22, he said, but if I live in the flesh, that is, if you are living in the flesh, you are in the physical body. Then he said, so for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 21. If he's living, he's going to be preaching Christ. If he die, he's going to go and be with Christ. The spirit and soul will go and be with Christ. That's why it means again. But verse 22 says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. So now you can see from that verse 2, Apostle Paul is saying, it is a choice. It's your choice whether you live or die. God is not the one that's killing us. God does not kill human beings. But when we are serving the Lord, you have the right to decide when you want to go. If you don't want to go, you can say, Lord, I don't want to die. He said, the number of your days I will fulfill. With long life will I satisfy you. That's what Psalm 91, verse 15 was saying. So God actually promised us long life. He said, I will satisfy you. So which means, even though it is the situation on earth that make death to come into the world, but God still promised long life for those that are serving him and walking under that are dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty in Psalm 91. Now he said, I will satisfy you with long life, which means when you are not satisfied, just say, the Father, I'm not ready to come yet. And you have the choice. You have a choice. You have the part to play. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying here. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. That he said, verse 22 said, he said, I don't know what I shall choose. Verse 22, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. So now he's one that's going to choose, not God, because he's not choosing whether you should be killed or you should live. No. He said, what I shall choose, I want not, which means he's going to choose. Yeah, you are going to choose. If you have power with God, you can choose when you are ready to go. When you're not ready to go, just say, no, I'm not ready to go. And the Lord will stand by you. Well, because it's not the Lord that is killing human beings, it is Satan that is killing human beings, dragging them to hell. Or those who are saints, when they die, they go to paradise. Angels take them to paradise. But the death is not caused by God in the first place. So you have when you have authority over Satan, then you can choose whether you want to go or you don't want to go also. Because after people have lived so long on earth and they are no more enjoying it, they are so old, and the new generation don't know them, they would rather want to go. If somebody has lived for 100 or something years old, and the new generation of people that are ruling the world, they just look at you like old person, and you yourself, if you even if they are strong, they can walk around. New technology all over the world, they become like strangers, not so. So they will rather want to go out of here, go be with the Lord. So that is why it is a choice. If you have power over Satan, the devil can kill you, because God has given us authority over Satan. No, so that it's our choice where we want to go. Apostle Paul is giving us that insight here that what I shall choose, I want not. Verse 17 says, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So as far as he's concerned, if he died and go and be with the Lord, he believes that's far better. And that's true because they are going to be in a place of rest. The physical body that they put in the grave is just a coat. It's an athlete suit that he was wearing, which people put away and trust. And God says he's going to give them another one when they resurrect in the end, because it is God that created that one in the first place, that grew with man. It came from when they are born, but it grew with man. God can do it again, and that is what God is going to do in the end. He will raise them up at the last day. God will raise people up at the last day that kisses. Verse 24 says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That is, Apostle Paul is saying, for him to live in the flesh is more needful for the believer. Then he can teach them, he can keep exhorting them. That is why he believed that he will be pardoned by Caesar, and he will live and not die. And that is what he's claiming in this place. He said that if he's to choose, he'd rather go to be with Christ because he has preached for almost 30-something years. And if he believes that if he goes right now, it's far more better for him to go and be with the Lord and rest. But he said that if he lives in the flesh, that will still be needful for the believers that he has been teaching, and he will be able to teach them more. That's what he was saying here. He said, but to die, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But he says he is the one that's going to choose. That is the key thing I want you to get in this chapter 1. So when you live for Christ, you have a choice whether you have to go. When the devil is trying to attack you, you can resist the devil, and the Lord is standing by you. Verse 25 said, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He has the confidence that he will abide in the flesh and be and continue to be with them. Verse 26 said that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Now, he said that he believes he's going to come and visit them again when he's released. But now he said, I want you to just have your conversation to be as becoming the gospel of Christ. Now he's giving the exhortation now to them. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an even evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. That don't be afraid of them, but stand firm in Christ. It's giving them exhortation right now. That even if I don't come, and you want to hear that the testimony of you I'm hearing is you are standing firm in the faith. From verse 28, he's going to give us one more key there. He said, don't be terrified by your adversaries. To them, that thing, they think you are going to be destroyed, but for you, it's salvation. Verse 29 says, for unto all of us, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That is, it is given unto us not just to believe in Christ, but already to suffer for his sake. So when the enemy, the persecutor, want to persecute us, don't be afraid. Just know that it is part of the package of following Christ. Verse 30 said, having this same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. He said, this is the same thing you have heard about himself, that he has been preaching the gospel and he has been arrested and persecuted. So you all know that we are all appointed to be persecuted. Don't be afraid of them. But Christ is on our side. I will continue this in the next broadcast.